Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenidge coming to you live and in color from the internet. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is our weekly Sunday evening conversation. And we appear every Sunday at 8 p.m. at this time. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. And we're actually going to be talking tonight with Byron Johns. He's going to come on and co-host with me tonight. And we're going to have some other folks calling in that participated in the Baltimore Be More Summit that just took place the beginning of August. So we're very, very excited about what we've got to offer and what we want to share. And as our tradition, we're going to start off with the declaration that's going to be read, the Declaration of the International Black Summit that's going to be read for us by my also co-host, Ms. Clara Lyons Devon. She's part of the talk show team. And take it away, Clara.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Glenn. I'll be bringing you the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And that declaration statement was written in Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991.
Very good. Thank you, Clara. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Since I've got you on the line,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you what do you want to share with folks about the Be More Summit? What were you left with? What was your experience of it? Let's start there.
Okay. Wow. My experience of it was that it was phenomenal. I had had accountability for registration and taking care of participants. And what I was really present to was facilitation in every aspect of the event. Like, you know, facilitating my life was not only taking care of people, making sure that they got processed into the summit, but also taking care of people in the room. I really got facilitating my life in all aspects of my life. So seeing it in that space, seeing it in the prerequisite space, seeing it in the room space, seeing it in the Thursday night event really got me present too. Facilitation is always present. Seeing it and talking to some of the participants since then, seeing it in the music, facilitation is present in the music, what music is played, how it's played, when it's played. So if we look at our lives and take it on, like we're facilitating our lives all the time in every aspect of our lives, I really was present to that after this summit event.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. And
yeah.
I just want to, if I'm breaking up a little bit, because we literally are transmitting from all around the country. Carla's up in New Jersey. I'm in Virginia. We've got some folks that may be calling in from California and Mississippi. So we really are an international conversation. Did you say they're here?
Yeah, we've got people. I think Byron 310801. Is that you?
Yeah, I think that's Byron. Yeah, that's Byron.
Great, you're live on. We also have 347-841 and a 000 number.
Byron, is that you? Welcome to the show.
It is I.
Hey,
I'm
Byron.
Here. Welcome. Thank you for joining and to co-hosting with me tonight. I appreciate it.
It's my honor.
You're welcome. For those of you who don't know who Byron and I go back to the early, we're talking about the late 80s, when we met at this program called the Sixth Day, which was part of a landmark advanced program. And landmark education is a transformational technology that the summit actually was birthed out of. So the graduates of Landmark actually got together and created the International Black Summit. So that's kind of some of our history. So Byron and I go back to a conversation prior to the summit, prior to an organization that we both co-founded called PDEG, which is People of African Descent Empowerment Group. And Byron and I have been fondly engaging in the conversation of transforming the black community for the last 20-some-odd years. So that's who Byron is for me, and I say for the world. So welcome to the call, my brother.
Thank you again. It's good to be here.
So I want to start out with this. The last summit in Baltimore, the Be More Summit, was the 20th annual summit event. And what was the event for you, Byron?
Well, it was a whole lot of different things. Because I've been involved with the summit since the first one in 1991, which I didn't attend, but which Glenn and I supported 9 people to attend. And so from 1992 to 1997, I attended those summits as if it were religiously, as if it were a part of my family reunion. And I was involved in producing, you know, mostly managing logistics around the summit. So I haven't been to the summit since 2005. And the 20th year was a culmination for me of just, was really I call it the future of the past, because we've been working in this transformational technology for all of these years. And this particular year, what I was amazed by was just how the development of it, and how adept that the facilitators were at facilitating transformation. And for myself, I got to bring my son, who's 13 and who was pretty much, I met his mother at the summit, and he was born on the weekend of the summit. And so people had heard about him, but he didn't really have a firsthand experience of the summit community. But coming around these 20 years, now I'm able to bring my son as a resource for him to be in a world network of people of African descent was very powerful. And for me to see people who have been around for 20 years and who are like family members, so it was like a family reunion, but in terms of value, also I found great transformation just in terms of where I was before on Thursday coming into the summit and leaving. And what I got was the summit was focused around being present to really what's going on with me, or what's going on with one or each person, like what's going on, and not resisting that. And in doing so and practicing that and being in the small groups, I found a sense of freedom and an ability to kind of just slow down. And since then, I haven't really fallen into my routine of going to the computer and trying to make something happen and working and working and, you know, and it's been more of focused around being, and things have been happening out of who I've been being more than what I've been doing. And that's been just really extremely powerful for me. And I just think that the network, the World Network, which is the International Black Summit, is a very, very great resource for all who participate. And, you know, the mission, the vision is alive and well. The vision is alive and well, and it's a Thursday night, seeing people dance and interpret the summit was just very powerful too. So I'm still kind of riding on the laurels of that weekend in my own personal transformation.
Very good, very good, very good. Thank you. So let's go back, because you said a lot of different things there. Let me just give folks an idea who haven't attended, just a snapshot. So Thursday night, we have an open event and a celebration, a sort of welcoming in that is done from the host city. So the host city sets up a program to welcome us into their culture, into their ways of being. And this time was Baltimore. And what we found, and we were actually at Frederick Douglass Sojourner College, Douglass Sojourner College in Baltimore, and that's where we actually had the actual annual event. And so we were on a black college campus. We had African dance and drumming that really spoke to the ancestors. We had a great historical program put together to acknowledge the 20 years. I actually want to acknowledge Lorraine for putting that together, and Darlene from out of Pittsburgh, who established the historian and passed it on, and Lorraine took it to a whole nother level. So we actually had a program. We had a journal that was created documenting and acknowledging the 20th annual event. And we had performers actually perform and use parts of the Declaration of the International Black Summit as part of their oratory expression of who we are as people of black African descent. So all of that was taking place in a very powerful production that for me sent goose pimples up and down my spine. One of the things, we had one gentleman there who, Oren, who actually had been to all 20 events. So, and he was acknowledging for that as well. I've only been to 17.
Only 17, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I missed three summits, and you know, it's just been a great 20 years. But anyway, folks, so you get a sense that Thursday night is the welcoming, and then we get down to the work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so those are the working sessions. And if you haven't attended the prerequisite, we have that prerequisite on that Thursday, so that to get you acclimated to the conversation and some of the tools that we use to deliver the summit transformation. So yeah, so that was great. That the Thursday night was great. I so acknowledge you for bringing your son back into this conversation, because I know that that's a very powerful means of letting young folks know what's going on in our community and that there are positive images and conversations and people who are up to having our community be magnificent. So, I really thank you for bringing your son into this conversation that you so dearly love.
Yeah, well, I think, it's my thanks to the summit and to the people who've carried the torch. And for you in the 17 years and Oren in the 20, and there's so many people who have contributed and been around to do this as a volunteer, not getting paid, but traveling all over the world and for the meetings, the preparation meetings, and then for the summit. And so why I say thank you is because it truly was a resource and a place where I brought my son because I thought that he could actually plug in to a network of people of African descent and be known and be affirmed. And so I think, that's just part of the legacy. And what I really became aware of is just how great the legacy is. That was just one aspect, but that the summit provides transformation for the Black community, and that is what the declaration is all about. That became crystal clear to me that what a great service. We're not asking anybody for, as Black people, not asking anybody to do anything for us. It's not about money, and of all the years and the mythology about Black people not being able to work together
or
build anything, this is a tremendous, it's just tremendous,
Great.
My thanks to you again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Clara, is there anybody with their hand up that would like to enter the conversation?
We have a caller at 347-841. I can open that mic for you. You're live on the air.
Go ahead, 341. You're live on the air. Anything that you'd like to share about the International Black Summit?
Good evening. This is Ray.
Oh, hey. How you doing, Ray?
I think it's Clara, right?
Well, Clara's on it, and Byron.
And Byron,
hi,
yes.
How are you?
Okay. I didn't have my hand up, though, but, you just forced me into this conversation, so I'm going to utilize it. I feel that the organization is doing a great job, especially with our youth today. And I've seen the booklet from the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in awe of it. But I have one question, and my question is this. What is the definition of the IBS language? Define the summit language. In other words, it's like I'm asking, define what an entrepreneur is. Define what the International Black Summit language is.
I'll answer that, and if I don't, just ask it a different way. So
No, I'm not going to ask it in a different way. I'm sorry. I'm not going to ask it a different way. I really want to know. That's why I'm just coming out bluntly.
Give me a chance, and let me speak to that. And I'm saying if I don't answer your question, then just let's circle back around. The language of the International Black Summit is a conversation of distinctions. So distinctions are part of the tools and the language that we engage in. And so what is a distinction? A distinction, let me give you an example. So a distinction is no right way to be. That's one of my favorite distinctions. So no right way to be, for me, says that when I think that I should be acting or things should be going in a particular way, there's no right way to be. So what that does for me is it has me look at who I'm being in that moment, and that who I think I should be may not, there's no right way to be. So therefore, I don't have to be righteous, and I don't have to be try to force fit my thoughts or my way of thinking on somebody else, that their conversation and their information and their thinking is just as equal as mine. And so if that being the case, then there's an opportunity for me to listen rather than dictate what I think it should be. So that's a particular distinction that is used in the conversation or an engagement of people having a conversation. And so that's part of the language that is worked on or talked about in the prerequisite. And it's really an access point. And with that access point, you have these tools that you can have in your toolbox. So that's the language of the summit. And there are many tools that the International Black Summit has provided, has created over the last 20 years, and is certainly providing its participants. So that's one of the tools that gets talked about. Another tool, for example, is trigger. And trigger is when I'm unwilling or unable to be with that conversation or that person. So let's say, for example, somebody said something and it reminded me of my ex-wife who I'm no longer with. So that person triggered a response. And so I'm now back with my ex-wife and the experience of her, good, bad, or indifferent, rather than being with the person that I'm having the conversation. So in that context, I'm no longer engaged in a conversation with that person. I'm somewhere else in the conversation. And so when I'm triggered, I'm on automatic pilot, and I'm not listening to the person that I'm engaged with. So when you're triggered, you get an opportunity, and you begin to see that you're not fully engaged with the person that you're speaking with. So those are some of the language, and that's why we spend a course on it to actually deliver some of the language so that in the middle of the session, for example, we'll say, oh, I got it, I'm triggered. Or that conversation just triggered me. So I can now, I know what that trigger is, and I now have access to some information about myself using that language called trigger, which is a distinction. So does that answer your question?
No. What does answer my question is that you said that the IBS language is defined as what? you gave me the tools, but what is the definition of the language? No right where to be. Am I correct? That's what you said, right?
That's a distinction. And that's and that's one of the language that we use in the summit is called distinctions.
So my question is that, now, being that we incorporate the summit language once we learn it and get it down pat and incorporate it in our lives, and in my life, once I get that down and I incorporate it in my life, that means that everything I do is around the summit language. meaning I have to take responsibility of what happens. I have to take responsibility of reactions and actions that I might not necessarily agree with, but that come my way. Am I correct?
Yes.
I just want to jump in. I don't know that that the summit is not about having to do anything, including being responsible. The summit provides, through its language, an opportunity to access maybe a different reality or a different way than it's been before. You know, that's what the language provides, is an opportunity to define a context that may give you some access or some power in areas where you may not feel powerful. You may feel
mm-hmm.
powerless or not as powerful as you can be. And the summit, the tools in the toolbox and the language all go together to provide one with access to more potential, to greater effectiveness. And that's what it's about. It's difficult to explain that. It's difficult to explain the definition of the language because the language itself is broad, and it would be like going through a dictionary or a list or a list of items that you might read in a book. At the end of a chapter, here's the definitions for all of that. And until you read the chapter, or if you don't read them in context, it might be a little confusing. So,
well, see, the reason why I asked, and I don't mean to be rude or interrupt, is that I was under the assumption that within the summit, you are responsible for whatever you come across or whatever challenges that you meet and the way in which you deal with it. You cannot actually play the blame game with anyone. You have to analyze yourself and actually do what is best to actually overcome and deal with the situation. So that's why I asked the question, in case those who are listening are wondering why I asked. You know,
well, I think
because
the summit does not make you responsible for anything. You generate your experience, and it
mm-hmm.
is true that we are responsible. As a possible way of being, we are responsible for our experience. And when we talk about being powerful, a part of that being the language or a distinction or the context of it is that that gives us some power. Because when you're a victim, you don't really have any power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can take responsibility, you then begin to like, okay, I can take some ownership of the issue and
mm-hmm.
begin to address it and from a place of power.
Has left the
and
conference.
That might have one be more effective. So that's kind of the purpose of all of it. But it's not like you have to be responsible for it. You know, it's not that kind of way. Being responsible is a possible way to be, which is, and that possible way could give you more power in being effective to address the issues or concerns or commitments even that you're dealing with.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's good. That's good. Hold on a second. One of the things that comes to mind is the whole context of vision. And so when you have, and so one of the things that we work on is your vision for yourself and the community. So in doing so, you get in touch with what is responsible. You get in touch with what is your responsibility as it relates to your commitment and your vision. So my vision is health, wealth, and abundance available for all. And so in that conversation, in that context, it has me look at things a particular way that's consistent with the commitment of my vision. And so I then get to choose, operable point here, I get to choose the action that I take, and I get to see if my action is consistent with my commitment and my vision. Because there are times when it's not. And I get to see that for myself. I get to notice it. That's another one of the distinctions. I get to notice myself in that I had a choice, and I chose in this moment to do something consistent with my vision, and in the next moment I may choose not to do something consistent with my vision, and then in the next moment after that, because life is about choosing in the moment. So every moment by moment by moment, you are making decisions, and in that moment you get to choose. So there's no right way to be. And I get to look to see if I'm living my life out of consistent with the vision and commitment that I am. Does that clarify it a little bit better for you?
Because I feel in life there has to be a right way to be, or else we'll all be enslaved for the rest of our lives. I don't agree. There's no right way to be. Now that define that for me, because I'm you know what, this I there has to be a right way to be.
so what I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to ask you to sit with it for a second or for a while, is that you may be triggered. Okay, so there's something about that right way, no right way, that has you on automatic pilot, that has you. So what I would ask for you to do is to just sit with that and just think about it and not to do anything with it, because one of the powerful ways that the International Black Summit has is being with things, and the Baltimore Summit was actually the Be With Summit. So I'm going to ask you to be with that. And just to keep noticing, is there a right way to be? Is there not a right way to be? And notice how that shapes your action when you're going down that particular tunnel. Okay.
Well, again, we're
not doing the course here on this talk show, but we're engaging in some conversation to give you an idea of the kinds of things that we engage in. And the engagement of those ideas and things are useful for us to keep us on track with our life. Now, just like a toolbox, there's lots of tools in there. And sometimes that particular tool, let's use a hammer. So there are places and things that a hammer is very useful for.
Okay.
But then there's some jobs or some applications, it's not. I need a saw, or I need something else, or a crowbar. So just because that doesn't sit with you doesn't mean that you can't use it. It may not be a time for you to use it, but once you engage in it, you now have it available when you need it.
I'd also like to suggest, Glenn, we're having our leadership meeting in Baltimore. I think you make a really valid point. It's a really interesting conversation, and it's one that actually we engage in inside of the prerequisite course. And the leadership weekend will be October the 8th, 9th, and 10th. It will be in Baltimore, Maryland. And through the course of that weekend, we will be conducting a prerequisite course. So I invite any of our listeners who want to get, you know, into the nitty-gritty of the conversation to actually come out and participate inside of that forum. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Clara, is there a place where they can get the information for how to do that?
Yeah, we have a website. The website of the International Black Summit is blacksummit.org, www.blacksummit.org. And as soon as we mail down the details on the location, that will be posted on the website.
So I want to let your listeners know, so the dialogue or the conversation that Ray and I were having are the kinds of conversation that we engage in the summit. Those are the kinds of things that we bring forth, and we not that we resolve it per se, but we have you look at it for yourself. Because see, the beauty and the power of the work that we do is all about you. It's now how you hold that, or your relationship to that tool or that way of being. You know, that's what gets engaged, and that's where the power is. Because I get to look at my stuff, Byron gets to look at his stuff, Ray gets to look at her stuff as it relates to no right way to be. And so we all bump up against whatever we're at or wherever we're at around no right way to be, and we look at it for ourselves and engage it for ourselves. And so we do that as a body of people. So we've got multiple conversations that are engaged in this whole context. That, and the context is to impact the intention of all of it is to impact and to move forward the black community. So it's a very engaging. It is very uplifting, and it can get quite emotional for some of us as well.
Mm.
So we've got go ahead, Byron, go ahead.
So I wanted to see if there was a moment that I could just say something about the right of no right way to be. Is that okay?
Yes,
in terms of my participation. In terms of my participation in the summit this particular time, because every time you come you might be in a different place, or every time I've come I'm in a different place, so there's something else to work on. But I think I was kind of locked in a way that I thought I had to be, and what I discovered in the summit is that way that may have worked for a while, may have worked for a long time in terms of me, you know, being at the computer, making stuff happen, you know, I'm going to do it and producing results. That was the way that I was for a long time, and what I discovered at the summit is that I just didn't have a lot of freedom in that paradigm. And so inside of, if I have it, that's the way I had to be, then there was not much else possible. But what I discovered is that there was another way for me to be. And it wasn't about doing a whole lot of stuff and being busy. It was about really discovering more of what's going on the inside and just being with that. And that had the world become a different place for me and me behaving differently in the world, which provided a lot more access to freedom. So it's just that consideration. If in terms of what Jerry's saying is like, there has to be a right way to be, and I was on that for myself, like being how I was being, because I thought that was the right way. But discovering in the summit that, and not that anybody told me this, because they didn't, but in my own process of working through, that I was not free because I was being this way that I thought I had to be, which no longer served me. Sometimes, you know, we just sort of outgrow things, and that's what I discovered.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Byron, because you, as they say, I look at the sacred cows in my life that are walking around, and I'm hungry, but the sacred cow is walking around, and I'm afraid to kill it, and I get to look to see, is it still a sacred cow, or do I need to invent a new way of being? Because it's really about your effectiveness. If you begin to want to be more effective, or you're noticing that you're not as effective as you'd like to be, that you've got an opportunity to change the way you do things and look at things differently. So that's a very powerful distinction, and that's a very powerful example, Byron. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you.
So Ray, do you have
Well, look, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. You know, but there's different ways that you could look at what you're saying, and like I said, I agree with it. My thing is that when does it come to a point where, you know, with the Summit language, that no way is the right way, where you have to stick together and you have to make a decision as to which way is the right way to accomplish an agenda or focus or, you know, a project. See, that's what I'm asking. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I'm asking is this is because I'm going through a transformation in my life right now. You know, so I find that your organization is the only organization that will be fully able to actually assist me if I allow you to. It's up to me to allow you to. You can't help me unless I allow you to. So this is why I'm asking these questions. You know, because you say, you know, what was the definition that, you know, you have to be or take a stand at some point to establish an agenda to go forward with the project that you have in mind for the future. So in that retrospect, you have to take a stand and you have to actually be right and address everybody who's encompassed within that, with that project with you. Therefore, within that, like, retrospect, I don't agree with that. But as all around, I do. But there are extenuating circumstances.
Try this on, Dre. So one of the things that we look at and we collaborate on is that once people get clear around their vision, and they can speak their vision very clearly, what happens is that people who have a similar vision gravitate to you, because a vision is different than a goal. A goal is something that you can do on your own. A vision is something that you need other people to participate in order to get it accomplished. And so once we speak our vision into the world, people who are resonating to that conversation or that particular aspect, for example, wealth. So the conversation of wealth is something that I'm engaged in, interested in, and other people can hear a wealth conversation in what I'm speaking, and so they're drawn to it. And the drawing to it has them be aligned with a similar vision. And in that alignment, only the people who are interested in working on that particular aspect work together to create that aspect. So people who are not interested in that don't participate and are not, because they're doing whatever is right for them. But the people who are in this conversation are able to come together because they have a particular vehicle to come together with. So there's, you know, so the universe really kind of takes care of the not that folks, because the not that have their own group that they're together and working on whatever that is or that is not. So that's how.
And Ray, it's not that there is not there's not. It's not that no right way doesn't mean that there's no way that there's no way that how do I say no right way to be doesn't means that there's no wrong way to be, in essence too, I guess. But that you can choose. You know, you get to choose who you be. You get to stand for. You get to choose your stand. It's not like you have to take this stand or you have to do this it this way. You get to choose. And in choosing, that's where the responsibility comes in, because you choose to be this way. And so in choosing that way, you choose what goes along with that, or you choose to be another way, or you choose, you know, so you make your choices.
Thank you. Now I understand. I completely understand. That's what I was looking for. I wanted the definition to be explained to me, and you explained it to the T just now.
Right.
That's all I was looking for, you know. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you. Are there other callers? Or do we get to talk?
Oxygen room, anybody in the oxygen room like to have a question, a concern, an issue, or to share about the Baltimore Summit?
Yes, I do. I do. Henrietta. Okay. So, could you repeat, please, if there's no right way to be, how there can be a wrong way to be? Could you say a little bit more about that?
I didn't. I said, if there's no right way to be, then there's also no wrong way to be. That's what I said. I didn't say that there was a wrong way to
be. Okay. Because I didn't hear. Right. So if there's no right way to be, there's no wrong way to be. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said.
Now,
okay.
So,
I just
need
to.
Let me speak to
that. There's a lot of noise over your way.
I think you guys got to mute yourself for a second here, and then we're
going to
open back up the mic.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
So one of the things, there's the front of the hand and the back of the hand. And so the no right way to be is the front of the hand, and the wrong way to be is the back of the hand. And so the two help define each other. But the power is in the choosing. So the power is in the choice and the choosing that you get to do rather than just to react or rather than just to be thrown to a particular way of being. And, you know, we use this word being quite a bit because being is how we establish a relationship. Like human beings, you know, we're beings, and we be a particular way. We can be happy, we can be sad, we can be fun, we can be crazy, we can be all of those things. And as we go through the choices in life, we get to be a particular way. And we get to own our particular way of being, such that I'm being, you know, good. I'm being bad. I'm being mischievous. I'm being sexy. I'm being, you know, those are ways of being that we bring to the table. And so if a particular way, you know, Byron talked about it earlier, if a particular way is not working for you, if you're not able to produce the results that you want to produce, that you're committed to producing, then you want to look at different ways to make that happen. So that's, you know, so that's, I hope that kind of speaks to or addresses what we're talking about, no right way to be. But right, no right way to be happens to be one of the distinctions for me. Let me share with you why. It's one of the most powerful distinctions for me because I've had this training to be analytical. So, you know, I went to school and I have got a data processing degree. And so what you do in data processing is you figure out how to do a particular thing and then you analyze it and you write down the steps. All a program is step-by-step routine for doing something as simple as, doing the inventory, doing your checkbooks. So I've been trained, and I've got 25 years of using this analytical ability to analyze things. And so for me, I was clear that there's a right way to be because there's a way to be the most efficient, the most productive, maybe use the less keystrokes, to get things done, all of that. So I, my whole life has been about creating a right way to be. And so what the summit had me look at is that if there's a right way to be, then I, then there's no possibility for anything other than that which I know. And that which I know, if it's not working for me, and that's the right way to be, then there's no possibility for me to change, to look for a different way of doing things. And so what No Right Way to Be has allowed me to shift and to listen to what life is calling for, what life is asking for. Because maybe it's to take this left, it's, even though I'm going to the right, but right now I need to take this left because there's something of value that's going to be awakened in me taking this left. So there's something about listening life fully and authentically that will have you be engaged in life in a different manner. And so for me, No Right Way to Be has been the thing to really shift my paradigm in terms of how I think, how I work with people, and it gives me freedom to allow things to occur around me that I wanted to control before. So it was a little long-winded, but that speaks to what how No Right Way to Be is for me.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, Byron.
What's the oxygen room? Because that was really curious in terms of, like, there's a lot going on there, and it's like, missing out on something?
Well, the oxygen room is what we've set up is we have a room, a conference call, a conference line, that is was originally set up to be after the show for people to call in, to share, and to continue to discuss any of the issues. But we've been utilizing it to bring in additional callers because we've actually got a limited number of callers that can call in. And so we wanted to get as many people access to this conversation as possible. So we type in the oxygen room, which is a conference line, into this call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
So we're utilizing, so the talk show team is utilizing technology to expand the conversation of the International Black Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you don't know, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. My name is Glenn Greenidge, and my co-host tonight is Byron Johns. And we've got Clara Lyons-Devon on the switchboard, and we've got Jerry and Henrietta in the oxygen room.
And Jill
is in there as well. So that's,
so
you
y'all,
know.
Y'all making, y'all having that big of a party with three people? Wow.
Well, there's more than that in the oxygen room.
Okay, cool.
Because I think Henrietta's in there and some other folks are in there as well. But that's what all the noise is. So we kind of manage it, and Clara's managing it, and we're making it all happen. And we are coming to you live on the internet radio, every 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. And Clara, you want to do any of our promos?
I just want to invite people again to come to the Leadership Body Meeting, which will be happening October the 8th and 9th in Baltimore, Maryland. Also to go to the website to get information about the International Black Summit and any other upcoming events that we may have. As Glenn also mentioned, we are in the process of going premium, and we need your financial support in order to be able to go premium. If you send us an email to idstalkshow@gmail.com, you can give a contribution. We only need $400 in order to get to premium status, which would allow us to have more people on the main line calling in and for people not to get bumped off. We have an opportunity to pledge a donation. We'll probably have a pledge drive coming up soon because we want to go premium before the end of the year. I'd also like to say you can go to the website, blacksummit.org, and also Blog Talk Radio. We have archives of the show, past shows. You can listen to this show or any previous show 24/7, where we talk about various topics and conversations of the summit. Glenn, we have about 4 minutes.
All righty. So, Byron, and as we're getting ready to wrap up, anything else that you'd like to share about your summit participation and what you're up to?
Well, I would like to share about a project that Padaic is participating in, People of African Descent Empowerment Group, and that's a Black Business Development Seminar or workshop that we're working on, and it's grounded in it's shaping up to be grounded in the distinctions or in some of the technology that we use in the summit, and I won't say it that way. What I'll say is that what will distinguish this particular Black Business Development Seminar or workshop from any other, because it will be about who we be in business. So if we're talking about being in business, it's really about who are we in regards to business? Who do we be in our businesses? And I think that you can learn the various techniques about finance and marketing and all of these other areas that are just general business principles, but who are we in relationship to those? And I think that it's going to be very powerful, some of the dialogue that we've had in developing the curriculum. And I think it will be valuable for anyone who's participating, whether you have a business or not, but who do you be about your business, whatever that is? The business of managing your household or managing your life or managing an entity like an organization or a corporation, I hope that at some point, Glenn, we'll be able to come back and actually talk about it as we begin to roll it out so people can find out and perhaps participate.
Absolutely, absolutely. My brother, anytime. Go ahead, Clara.
We have 2 minutes, and we have someone with their hand up at 662-902.
This is Claudette.
Hey, Claudette, how you doing?
All right, good. I've been trying to get on, but I'm glad I got on. Just wanted to say before the show ends that I found the International Black Summit in Maryland most valuable, and that one of the biggest moments in the summit was the conversation about distinguishing releasing and then there's releasing and letting go. And
okay.
I've had, in that whole discussion has allowed me to have a sense of freedom that I haven't had before, that I have, that the angst that I used to have about things, it's not there
mm-hmm.
anymore. Because I noticed that, I can just let go of that, get over it, let go of it. Not even get over it, but let go of it. And so I just wanted to share that part of the value that I got from the summit is that that was many things, but that was the key thing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know. Thank you, Claude. One of the things that comes up is this freedom. Freedom to be, freedom to be a different way, freedom to be more effective, to be, I want to say better, but better is not the right word. It's an ability to adjust and to listen to what life is offering you. So we're just about out of time. We've got about a minute left, so I just want to close it down for this Sunday. And Claire, you want to give us the oxygen room?
Jerry, if you're there, we got about 20 seconds. What's the oxygen room number?
Barbara's 218-862-6420. Access number 797-4834#.
Can you give it this again?
218-862-6420. Access number 797-4834#.
Thank you, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So this is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're going to sign off for tonight. Thank you for listening in. Certainly join our website, blacksummit.org. We love you. Thank you for your partnership in having the black community. Peace and blessings. Good night, all.
Peace.
Good night.